Hey guys, this week's episode is a two-part episode. You'll get the second half of it next week.
It's a cliffhanger.
It's a cliffhanger. So we just had so much fun talking about Dark Angel that, it just we ran out of time. Literally ran out of time. And so we want to, dang, I messed it up.
No, you're good. You're good. Keep going. Keep going. We just want
So,
to let the people, know this is a two-parter. There's suspense in there. We get into some juicy stuff. There's some it's the first episode of a series, and we want to do more of these. We're coming this loose. We're coming in ready for, what plan do we have? Charisma.
exactly. And we picked for our very first episode of this particular vignette within our show, first episode that has the runtime of a feature length film. So, we take our time and like dissecting lots of pieces of it, and we want you to be able to hear it all without, growing fatigue and or getting tired, So we've decided to split it into two episodes, and so, there you have it. Hope you enjoy this first part of the episode.
We'll catch you on the flip side, as they say. Ooh, spoiler alert. The dog dies in the end. That's not related. That's not a real spoiler. You can still watch the. You can watch it.
We are the ink to the page, Japan land the punch. Onomatopoeia, boom pow, we got the stuff. We know they got story, been new, they got heart. Complex narratives and black carriers, tell me where you see us. Where I see us, where I see us, they wanna be us. But tell me where they read us, not they wanna be us. Out the damn cage like a nigga from Georgia. Insane and out the brain and lacking in origin. Act flashbacks and shots to the system. Downloading new issues and sitting for a listen. Where I see us, where I see us, they wanna be us. But tell me where they read us, not they wanna be us.
They wanna be us. They wanna
hey.
Be us. Where I see us.
Hey man.
Where I see us. Where I see
where
us.
All the black
where
people
I see
at,
us.
Man?
Where I see us.
Black and brown.
Where I see.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm all good. I got myself some tea, some nice ginger tea.
Ooh, I had that earlier. I had like a ginger, it's like a ginger peach turmeric.
Ooh.
I'm gonna make some later, but I might eat ice cream before I make the tea. That
Ooh.
they don't go together, but it will tonight.
That is what's on the that is the menu. Today we're doing something different.
Yes, we are doing something different, but welcome to Where I See Me, the podcast where we look at comic books and media with lots of questions in mind, mainly where the hell are all the black and brown people? And so I'm Jamie.
And I am Marcellus.
And as Marcella said, we are doing something a little different today.
Sorry, I got excited.
No, your excitement makes me really happy because I can't wait to hear what you had to say about this show. And so we are going to be doing something called first episodes. It's basically what we're going to be doing is watching the first episode of a series. Maybe we've seen it before, maybe we haven't seen it in a long time, maybe we've never seen it at all. But we got lots of recommendations of different like sci-fi shows and things to watch. And so with first episodes, what we're going to be doing is we both will watch the first episode and like give our thoughts on it and whether or not we will continue watching the series and whether or not maybe you should consider watching it. All right. And so the episode that we're going to be the show that we are talking about today, the show of my middle school years. I wanted to be her so badly as a child. She is like I had very few role models, or not role models, but like people that like you I wanted to emulate. But Max Guevara was definitely someone I wanted to emulate. And so if you're not familiar with the show Dark Angel, it came on Fox in the year 2000. It was directed by James Cameron and I believe Charles Eagley is the other director for the show. And so the premise of the show is Max Guevara is a transgenic soldier. And so this is an interesting, for, I mean, just off the bat, the fact that she's called transgenic and we're now in a time period where like, trans is a part of identity, but thinking about like transgender has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the idea that she was basically a child soldier. She was built in a lab. They had these women that were pregnant and they messed with the genes of their fetus to build the perfect soldier. And she was one of them. And so the show is about, in a nutshell, about that, right? And so I grew up with the show. I watched, there were only two seasons, unfortunately. And I watched, I never missed an episode. I also used to tape them. Like that's how much I loved the show.
Committed. Day one, day zero.
I loved it so much. I even convinced my cousin to watch it when she would come down from like, I'm trying to remember if Erin was in Dallas. Shout out to my cousin Erin. I don't know if she's listened to the show yet, but she used to, I think she might, I don't know if she was living in, I think she was still in Houston. She was living in Houston at the time. Like she's moved around quite a bit, but when we would be at my grandma's house, I used to convince her to watch it and she got really into it too. And like to the point when we, even after the show was on, if she saw that it was on like somewhere syndicated, she would like call and tell me it was on so I could watch it.
The love runs deep.
No, it's really deep. And so I have convinced Marcellus that we should review this first episode of Dark Angel. And so I'm going to let you start because I can just go on and on about how much of
while you get your multiple volumes of notes on Dark Angel, unearthing them. So this, I already like Jessica Alba. So I was like, all right, I'll at the very least be like, that's enough of a hook for me to start off with. And I looked at the cast before I watched it. I was like, okay, we got Michael Weatherly. Mm-hmm. I've seen him in things. NCIS, I think, or CSI. One of the, it's got alphabet letters in it. At some point, Jensen Ackles is in the show. I was like, okay, wherever he shows up as a
season two.
See, now I'm going to watch through more because I know there's more people in here that I haven't seen yet that are going to be there. JC McKenzie, he's in there. But my point is, there's a lot of people in here that I recognize their faces.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them in other stuff. And when I was trying to get a sense for what the show might be like in terms of other stuff beforehand, other than what you would like giving me, like what was the general sense from the Dark Angel community? What's the vibe? And I heard someone reference Firefly.
Hmm.
And what was the other show? Kyle XY. And
oh, you just took me. I just went all the way back in my brain when him and not having a belly button. Oh my god.
That boy's belly button was not present.
It was not present. At all. Oh my gosh.
That was a big plot point too.
We might need to add that to the list. No. I'm serious. But continue. You were talking about the cast and or what you the show the vibe from the show.
And I just like I love those types of shows. Like I mean I feel like there's certain shows that I did grow up watching, you know, with like the kind of weekly whodunits or like the mystery that unfolds over time. Like I remember watching, I swear I'm gonna come back to Dark Angel, but I'm just
you know how we feel.
It made me think of like watching shows like Chuck when I would watch with my dad. Like these shows where you tune in weekly and it starts off with like, here's a premise that kind of sounds crazy. but here's how these characters in this world, how they like really find a way to get you hooked in and like buy in. And there's just a very specific presentation of what those like what the abilities that the show is focusing on, what they do. And they explain it pretty well in that first episode. Just the idea of, like you said, there's this like child shoulder, soldier. if I can speak, clearly. But Jessica Alba was out here. She's just like, I'm a bike messenger. You know, I'm tough or whatever. But also, I can wear heels. I'm the duality of woman. And it's a very kind of like welcome to this world sort of introduction of her. And she's hella young in this.
She's a baby. She's like 18, 19 years old.
So small.
So little.
And at first, you know, I think it could be deceiving as like, you know, in terms of the they show this protagonist and you don't think too much. I mean, unless you're just like, I don't know if there's any books or if this is just a TV show on its own. I did not get that far into my Dark Angel research.
I don't think there are books. I think there is. I think there was a book that came after the series to kind of like maybe finish to wrap it up a little bit. But no, not there wasn't like a precursor book.
I bring up the example of Chuck when I think about this because a protagonist where it's kind of like you can have some assumptions looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jessica Alba is not, I mean, if you need a mental image of Jessica Alba, at this point in time, she's not like ripped. Like, mm-hmm. She's definitely like, I could imagine her doing some like, maybe like a cartwheel really well. If she punched me, it probably would hurt. But she's not like, they have her like, she's running like the Flash. She's like running so fast. She's picking people up who are like 300 pounds easy and just ragdolling them. She's just giving them the work. And it made me think of Chuck in the sense that I really didn't expect the main character to just like out the gate be capable of doing certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that show being like, here's a guy from Geek Squad. And then he immediately is given like government knowledge within his brain, like some like hyper, like limitless type deal.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, this man is now very useful. And I didn't think he would be able to do half the things that are going on. But she is more impressive. And I think, especially in the sense that she has such a charm.
She does. Like, she's a really good, like on-screen like quality to her. Like, she's her character Max is very kind of like, she's a little cynical, but she's really like a sweetheart, you know. And like, I think that's one of the things what were we gonna say, who's what?
Oh no, I paused, my phone glitched out for a second. I said ooh. My apologies.
That's okay. But I think, like, you know, she's like, she's cynical. She's like, and so it's important also to give you guys like the setting of what's happening, like the year this is happening, right? So the show, of course, aired in 2000, right? But the show takes place, like the main points of the show take place in 2019. So 19 years into the future, right? And so this show,
unthinkable,
19 years from now, right? So 2019, basically last year, the events of Dark Angel were happening. If you think, which I think watching it now is really interesting. I don't know if you felt the same thing about like some of the things that happened in the first episode, some of the themes. I was like, this kind of applies to now, but
they had it pretty good in comparison. I'm gonna be real. I would rather live in that world.
Okay. So in this particular setting, you know, if you are old enough to remember 1998, 1999, clock strike 12, 2000, people were like terrified of Y2K. So this show kind of plays on that Y2K anxiety, right? And we of course know that nothing happened with the computers for Y2K. Like, they just,
that's what they want
you, they to just do. Added a zero. They were just like, okay, that's what
they, all right, Jamie, the truth is out there though.
But in this particular world that James Cameron and Charles Eagley have created, some terrorists have, and you know what, this is before I 9/11. Think 9/11. Oh, okay. So, okay. Let me
continue. Now we got to refocus now.
we got to paint the setting. So in the show, some terrorists attack the United States. But it was like an electromagnetic pulse that like wiped out all the computers. So basically Y2K happens, right? But it was a terrorist attack. And so all these people lost money. There are no jobs, there's no food. And like, people are basically living in like a dystopian society in the United States. So the show, like, Max is in Seattle. I think she's in Seattle, Washington. Yeah. And Seattle looked like, for lack of a better word, like a hobo camp, basically. Like, people are squatting in buildings that used to be like apartment complexes and having to pay off the police so that they can stay there. You have people outside like burning trash and barrels. Like, kids are playing on broken, like, everyone is has adapted to their surroundings. Like, no one is just like, it doesn't look like their environment is miserable, but they have somehow made the best of it, from what it looks like in the show. But there's still like issues.
That's part of the reason why I wish I would live in that world, because they
looked like, okay, you know, like, they were still going out to bars and things, you know, like, still able to have some kind of like social life. It was just like things were really different. They had these they have sector police. So the sector police, like, they check your identification so you can move from sector to sector. So apparently some of the states have been broken up into, like, if you live in Washington has been broken up into sectors and you can't move about freely. Like, you have to like show identification. And in the show, Max, who is Jessica Alba, is a Jamponi messenger. Jamponi is a messenger, a bike service, messaging service. They deliver packages to people, right? And so she can go from sector to sector because that's her job, to deliver, you know, packages and things. But we're kind of, I guess, getting maybe a little bit ahead. So like, that's kind of the environment in which the show is taking place, right? It's a dystopian society in the US. And you definitely do have people, right? The majority of people are living in this kind of dystopian universe. And then you have people who are like Logan, who are still wealthy and still live like it's, you know, his apartment looks very much like 2019. Like, it's, you know,
just a white man with his nice glasses enjoying his house.
Exactly. And so we'll come back to Logan, but I want to go to like the opening of the show that we get. And, you know, this is the first episode. We don't get like the theme music or like the photo montage of the theme. Like,
I haven't even seen it yet.
I know you haven't seen the rest of the show. So I mean, of course I remember it, but like, Marcellus has only watched episode one. And so we just get the title and on like snow, and we see someone running, and it's a child running in like some kind of like hospital gown in the snow. And so this is the prison break. But they're, yeah, I'm going to say prison break because they had those poor kids in prison, basically doing experiments and stuff on them. And so Max is like with a whole bunch of other kids who have escaped this government facility in which they were testing them. They were testing their genetics, but they were also training them to be super soldiers at a very young age.
Very American thing.
It is like, you know, America, like the U.S.'s obsession with like building the perfect soldier, right? Like trying to, it has everything to do with capitalism in the sense that you're trying to cut down loss of life but really cut down the cost of maybe feeding an army, I would imagine, right? And like, how can you get the job done with like less people with minimum lost, right? And it's that ultimately leads you to building funding like billions of dollars into like building a super soldier, which is basically what this project is. It's Project Manticore. And so Max and these kids are running. They're like probably like 9 years old.
They all bald headed too.
They're all bald headed. So they've shaved their heads, right? So that there's nothing about them that is like unique. I mean, they are all like different ethnicities, the kids, right? But like they've shaved their heads in the way that like to kind of like give them all one uniform identity, like you're a soldier.
Very militaristic. Very, very, very.
Absolutely. And so we see them running, right? So we see the kids escape. Some kids get caught. One kid was shot. Max falls into some like soft ice. Is it called? I know nothing about cold weather places.
I feel like soft ice is just snow, though. I mean, I could be wrong.
Would you? What do you call it when like there's an iced over lake?
A snowbank, or like?
I don't know. See, we are warm weather people. I just know hurricanes, tropical depressions, cyclones. I know that.
I know depression. Oh, Marcella. Oh, tropical. But I don't know. She falls on some ground that's soft enough to land on. And it's cold.
She falls into a lake, a frozen lake, and gets like doesn't come up for air. And so there's like one kid. Does he go back for her? I think he tries to, but he gets caught or he gets shot. I don't remember.
There's a struggle. Like it's kind of like a, oh, we can't grab her.
Right.
She's too far gone.
Right. And so she evades the people who are running after the kids, trying to recapture them. Right. And so we then like fast forward, like they do like this whole face thing where they like morph this like child actor's face with Jessica Alba's face. And we're like fast forwarded into 2019. Right. So like 10 years later. So this is happening in 2009 it's happening where she's like running away from the government facility. And we get this, she's like in her bathroom. One of the things I forgot about the show, because in remembering like Max's character, that she has these seizures and like has to take pills for them, the medication.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've like messed with their genes so much, like some of them, like you can only slice genes up so much before like it causes like, you know,
severe issues.
Yeah. And so she has like seizures. Occasionally, like I think they tend to be like in the mornings, I would imagine, like from what they showed in the first episode. And so she's like on her bathroom floor, like just shaking and taking pills and like has to just basically wait it out pretty much. But I mean, that's kind of how it starts, but like I don't want to necessarily go into like this is, and then this happened and then this happened
minute by minute.
Because the first episode is an hour and 36 minutes.
That's a movie.
It's a movie. And you know what? They wrote it the way that it went. I felt like they're like James Cameron was probably like, I don't know if people are going to like the show. So I'm just going to frame it like it's a movie and like just be happy with this 1 hour and 36 minutes just in case. Right? Because it does kind of resolve itself a little bit in the end. Like, there's a potential for it to go off somewhere, but it is a satisfactory kind of, like, ending to it, I feel.
No, it absolutely does. And it really is just him pitching, like, you know, please let me do more.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels good. It feels cohesive. Like, the world feels, it's got all its little characters. Everyone has their, like, role within like society, and it's like Jessica, like Max seems to feel both like one foot in, one foot out.
Mm-hmm.
but it works though. It doesn't feel like I don't feel annoyed in her doing it, because there is a certain amount of like got some mystery there. It's just like, what are you thinking, Miss Guevara?
Yeah, I mean, there's like that whole scene where she runs into her ex boyfriend in a bar, and he was just like, he basically calls her a fog bank or something of to that effect, and she asks her best friend, Original Cindy, which, why Original Cindy's called Original Cindy, I don't know, but she's like, I'm the OG Cindy, basically.
As if the previous Cindy has been replaced.
I guess. It could be something from work. I don't remember why Original Cindy's called Original Cindy. It could be like she started working at Jam Pony first and like some other Cindy came along and she's like, well, I'm the Original Cindy. Maybe, but...
She is such a good character so far.
She is. I love, like, Valerie, I think her name is Valerie Ray Miller.
Yeah.
Valerie, I've seen her in other things before, and I can't think of what they are off the top of my head. Like,
I remember she was in All About the Benjamins.
She was. Oh my gosh. Yes, she was like one of their girlfriends.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's been in hella like TV shows though.
I'm looking, and so it was like Hollywood Homicide, which. That looks like, I can't think of that old man's name. I'm looking at his picture. Crank,
Reaper. I just looked it up. You talking about fucking,
Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford. That old man name, I don't know what
his name is. I couldn't remember his name, but I'm like, I know that man's face.
I'm weak.
She was in La La Land?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Who was she in La La Land? I never saw La La Land because I'm like, that don't look like something I would watch. But
we're gonna have to talk about that at some point.
Why? Would I like it?
No, you wouldn't like it.
Okay, I was right then.
they got these white people talking about jazz too much.
Oh, see, no, I don't like that. What in the Kenny G is going on?
Ooh.
I don't like it. Although Kenny G, we used to have Kenny G days when I was in high school.
What?
When I was in dance team in
you high school. You said that so casually.
Well, I'm about to tell you what it was. So we would have days. So any of you who are not familiar with Texas drill team tradition, there are no days off. You were literally dancing August. Please, we start dancing. No, we dance the whole year, right? Because we have summer camp, football season, competition season. And then like after competition season, we get a little bit of a break. But in high school, I was in drill team all 4 years, which is the equivalent of dance team in Texas. It's like, think about like the little cowgirls that are on the football field and they do the high kick line. That's what Texas drill team is. So like the Kilgore Rangerettes, for those of you who maybe need to Google an image. But we used to have Kenny G days. So our director, shout out to Rosalie Lopez. She was awesome. Miss Lopez would have days where she was like, we have to rest. Like we have to take a nap. And she would play Kenny G and like turn the lights off in the dance studio. And we would just like go take a nap. Like that would be our Kenny G days. Like some people would take a nap. And then it got to a point where they would turn into like movie days too. Like we watched, like the first time I saw The Ring was at high school, was in school and during drill team.
What? That sounds so stressful for a day off.
The Ring. Okay. The Ring. Yes. Because the bell rang to go home. And I rode the bus home, and I was a latchkey kid, and so I came home, and I didn't want to turn the TV on. I was like, I'm not turning this TV on until my mom gets home. Like, I don't know what that little girl gonna come out this the TV.
That's so chaotic. We got to listen to Kenny G and watching The Ring.
Either we would watch The Ring or we'd watch Grease. We watched Grease a lot, I remember, in drill team. A lot, and we all knew the words. And this is like a drill team of black and brown youth singing all the words to Grease. Like Grease was like one of our like favorite movies to watch as a team.
That's extremely chaotic. I appreciate it, but that's so chaotic.
I mean, dance is chaotic. Teen dance is chaotic. But, I mean, going back to me not recognizing Harrison Ford and Valerie Ray Miller as original Cindy.
That's a queer character, too.
She is a queer character. I'm trying to think if there were a lot of queer characters in 2000, like on TV.
Well, even if there wasn't, if anything, I would say there's representation was, you know, sparse from what I remember. But if anything, the representation was not always good.
Exactly. And like, yeah, and like original Cindy is like best friends with Max, and Max is straight. And so like there's this whole, I don't know, there's like this thing where people believe like straight and queer people can't be friends, and it's like, yes they can. They're people. Like that's not a thing, right? But they have like this very deep friendship, right? And like Max runs into her ex at the bar, and he's telling her, like, you know, every time I tried to get close to you, you would pull away. And then like original Cindy's like, oh, is that why you slept with her best friend, one of her friends, or with her roommate? You know? And like basically defend, like, Max didn't have to say anything. Like, Cindy did all of the heavy lifting for her, mostly in that scene. She was a real one. And then, like, even when she did, like, she was like, okay, it's okay, Cindy, I got it. I mean, she was just very, just, like, dismissive and very, like, snarky. She's very, also, like, very snarky.
She's so snarky. I love it so much.
I do, too. She has so much attitude. And I think that, I'm trying to think, like, why would 12-year-old Jamie really like? I'm also, like, thinking about, like, okay, the person I am now, and then, like, has any of that rubbed off into like my own persona, like from watching this show and loving it so much and loving the characters, if that has like, so I'm not necessarily snarky.
You be coming with that energy sometimes.
Sometimes I have a smart mouth.
you have the clapbacks. You be clapping.
But like that's like that's like a hereditary smart mouth. Like that got passed down to me from several different generations. But yes, like this show, like I really love the show. I'm probably gonna say that a lot during this episode. But in the first episode, like, you know, they're doing all this world building for us, right? So we know about the pulse. Right, like Jessica Alba or Max Guevara is narrating this first episode, so we get a sense of her inner monologue as well as her telling us about this world building. Right, we know that she's a messenger, she's a Jamponi messenger as a day job, but then we find out like her night job, like she's a cat burglar.
She be stealing like a motherfucker.
She be thieving. She be stealing just like
sticky fingers.
Sticky fingers and like be plotting this stuff out, right? Like she went to deliver a package at this office building, and like because she has like been, her DNA has been spliced with like who knows what animals. I'm gonna say like
mongoose. A mongoose.
Why a mongoose?
Because it sounds, I don't know what it looks like, so it sounds fast.
They look like a mongoose looks like a ferret. It looks like a ferret.
How big is it?
I don't know. Did you ever read?
See, that's what I'm saying.
Did you ever read Rikki Tikki Tavi?
No.
That's not a made up word. That's a
real word. I know. I'm thinking of a folktale named Tikki Tikki Tambo.
Rikki Tikki Tavi. Was that made? Let me see. Rikki Tikki Tavi. Yeah, it was made by Rudyard Kipling, the one who did The Jungle Book. He was racist, right?
Oh, I don't even know. I'm just going to say yes.
I'm just going to say yes, too. But he wrote Rikki Tikki Tavi. It was about a mongoose who, like, fights a cobra in India or something. Like
that's already...
It's tough, right? But I was going to say like a falcon or something, because she was looking, she was in one office building, looking across, looking at the window across to another building, and could see the statue of the goddess Bas
inside the building.
Inside the building. Like, excuse me? And that's kind of like the first time we really see
her like power, like abilities.
Her abilities, right? Because so far we're just like, okay, she's this kid who escaped from this like place. We don't really know. We kind of get some flashbacks when she's having the seizures. We get flashbacks of like the military training, them like brainwashing them by flashing things on the screen saying like duty and teamwork and,
you know, the usual.
You know, your typical how to brainwash people and make friends kind of stuff. And so she later comes back that evening, and she drives a motorcycle, which I like immediately. I'm like, she's so cool. She doesn't wear a helmet. She wears like these yellow, like night vision goggle, like glass goggle, whatever they are kind of things. And like she drives, so she comes back later that evening, and like, She apparently, I'm like jumping so far ahead. When she delivers the package, right, she makes note of what floor that statue is in the other building, and like goes and like puts a piece of tape. She puts a piece of tape on the door so that it doesn't lock, so she can come back later and go through that door. And like without like, I guess, tripping the alarm or anything, like she then like rigs some kind of like Batman type thing and like flies across to the other building at night, breaks into this man's apartment, steals the statue. And like, this is when she gets her first meeting with Logan Kyle. And like,
I was upset by his name. I was aggressively upset by
his name. Why? What made you upset about his name?
That's two first names, Jamie. That is two first names.
Logan Kyle.
Two people.
A rich dude. Who was played by Michael Weatherly. You're like, that's two people.
I don't trust that.
Well, I mean, yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. But like in the show, so this is her first meeting with Logan Kyle. And Logan Kyle, unbeknownst to her until she's like walking around his apartment, is Eyes Only. And so yes. And so do you want to tell them who Eyes Only is? I've been talking a long time.
All right. Here's the skinny. Here's the hot tea, the gossip, word on the street. So in this world, right, there's limited, you know, they got some news, there's some specific channels. There's like pirated, pirated hackers who, you know, hack into the news every now and then, let people know the real truth for the American people.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know, we're like, out of the 90s now, the movie Hackers has already come and gone. So if you're a hacker, you gotta have an alias. You gotta have some sort of a secret identity, some sort of protection. And this man only shows his eyes when he hacks the broadcast. His name is Eyes Only. And it's very, he makes his eyes very large on the screen. It's a little scary.
Yeah, it's just like, because there's like a banner running. It reminds me very much of like Hype Williams music videos. We have like these banners like running, or maybe director, maybe Little X did. I mean, he's not Little X anymore, he's Director X, but when he was Little X, I think he might have also did the banners, because Little X and Hype Williams worked together a long time. But like, if you think about like early 2000s, late 90s hip hop videos, and how like they'd be broken up into like multiple banners that are, there's things happening across the screen, like that's what his like hacking broadcast looks like.
So he looks like he's about to do a music video, but he's just telling you about the government doing some boo-boo stuff. He looks like he's about to, you know, hit you with a hip, a hop, a tip, hip, a hop, to the don't stop. And he just tells you about war crimes. And the government is not a fan of this. And so, like, we just get this introduction of, like, there's a this kind of, like, two arcs crossing crossing paths. They intersect. She's trying to steal, and he's like, she comes in to steal this valuable little statue's item, and she encounters like what would have been a hit on his family, some sort of like a kidnapping sort of situation, and she just sees this like big, maybe like 350 pound dude with a like with a gun, and she's just like, huh, this little girl looks like he'll give me trouble, and she just manhandles this man, in the apartment, and the Logan Kyle comes in with what looks like a shotgun or some sort of like weapon, like a he it's a very large gun for a man to have in a residential area, and he's just like, freeze, and she gives him like a really snarky, like, for a gun being pointed at her, she was a very snarky remark of like, all right, just don't shoot the guy on the ground or something to the effect of like, I just saved your family. And he looks at the unconscious guy and is kind of just like, that's weird. You're definitely a very small, slender person. I don't know how you did that. And immediately he's like, well, okay, the security's coming. Because you look like you're clearly a thief, and I'm not gonna just like not have you arrested. And she straight up just like she just runs away. Like there's screaming happening in my home.
Are your roommates okay?
No, I'm on the phone.
I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
But
oh you, my God.
Talking about so the hallway scene where her and Logan, and also I looked up Logan's, his last name is Kale. I've been saying Logan Kyle.
It's even worse that it's Kale.
I know, like some spinach, like some leafy greens.
Leafy green looking ass.
Yes. But you're talking about the hallway scene, and like when he stops her and finds out that she's just a thief and not an assassin, he was like, oh, thank God. And she was like, she smirks and was like, no one's ever said that after I've stolen from the water. And so, you know, he feels comfortable enough to walk up to her and like takes the statue from her. And like,
you don't stop him.
And like, he was like, oh, did you just pick this because it's shiny? And she was like, she like schooled him. She knew exactly who it was. It was a statue of like the Egyptian goddess Bast, as I mentioned earlier. She knew what like time period it was. It was like early French or something like Art Nouveau French, something like that. That she just like knew. Like this girl has been fencing art, been stealing art and like selling it on the black market for a while. She knows her stuff, right?
She's like, I think that was the thing that impressed me the most. They give her, she has so much power in all of these scenes. Like, even when, because he doesn't point the gun at her again. And they have a very, it seems like it's kind of like a banter at that point, like you were describing. But the security still comes and they all have guns and they're all like big dudes. And she just like, instead of being like, oh, well, you got me. She just, all right. Bye, and then runs like they're like up high. They're it's like a penthouse apartment, and she just runs for a window as if it is an exit and breaks like jumps through the glass, and his immediate like surprise, just like she's just that's death.
She's dead.
And when he goes to the edge to see like where they have to clean up the body, he just sees her look back up as she's running from another rooftop, and he is just flabbergasted.
I feel like he fell in love with her in that moment, like right then and there.
like with his wife and child behind, he's like,
Well, remember, that's not his wife and child. Like, he's offering them like witness protection or something. Like, that's not his wife and kid. Because at first, like, we think it is, and she thinks it is too, right? And then later, which we'll talk about the late. I think later he tracks her down
very easily.
Like, he, so because he's eyes only, he's a hacker. He can, like, he hacks into like security systems and stuff all the time. And he was trying to figure out, how did she know to go? Like, could she have seen that statue? And like, so he got the security footage for the building next door where she delivered the package from earlier. Does, like, you know, the photo enhanced stuff, which do we even have that right now in 2020? Do we have enhanced, you know, like how in like NCIS they're like enhanced.
No, you can't. I mean, you could zoom in, but there is no like enhance. There's no
no, because you know what? Here's a photography lesson for everyone. Like, there are only so many pixels in an image, right? Like, if you only have 72 pixels, enhance all you want, but they're just gonna spread out. It's not gonna sharpen. Like, it's just don't do that. You have to have like something that's really, 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 really high def. And if, like, surveillance footage, I don't know what the PPI or pixels per inch, for those who are not photo inclined. I don't know what the PPI is for surveillance.
It's about 5. I'd be surprised when they can. That's how I know they have to be using other resources like microphones to find people or something like that. Because
right?
I have not seen security footage. Very often that looks better than like a potato took it.
The potato even have arms.
I'm just saying, the image quality shot on a potato.
Or first generation Nokia cell phone. That don't even have picture capabilities.
And that's the quality we be sitting at most time.
Exactly. It's like an 8-bit quality. But, you know, Eyes Only has this technology, right? Like, he does a photo enhance and, like, sees her walking into the building, can, like, enhance on her ID badge for work, and finds out she's a Jamponi messenger. And so this man shows up at her job talking about, I need to, and, like, he had printed out the picture and everything, shows up at her job and was like, I'm looking for this woman. And, like, her boss, who is just like her boss. Her boss is played by JC McKenzie. And his name is Reagan, but they call him Normal, like Normal. Normal in the show. Yeah, they call him Normal in the show. And like, he gets on all of their nerves. He's like the boss the boss everybody hates. He's very much about like productivity and efficiency and stuff. And like, the whole time all this is happening, like, Max has a neighbor who's her friend from work who is sick with some apparent disease he got from fighting in some war. Because remember, the war on Iraq hadn't started yet when they were filming this, but there was like something from like whatever war we were in the U.S.
The war on drugs.
Oh my God.
He got sick
fighting for the war. No, it was something like it was called the Balkan disease, like the Balkan Peninsula. I can't pronounce Balkan properly because I'm country, but I don't know what the Balkan. I keep saying, trying to say balcony. The Balkan Peninsula. So they have some kind of disease called the Balkan disease that a lot of soldiers came home with, and there's like some medicine on the market that's supposed to help them.
Robitussin. But
what did you say?
Robitussin.
No.
Vicks chest rub.
Oh my God. her friend is like sick. Also, he's in an interracial marriage. He has a black wife and a little boy. And he is Asian. So like, we're already seeing that this in this world, like, race is not it seems like people have gotten over whatever racism stuff because we're all living in a dystopia. Like they're just like I don't know.
I mean, I don't know about all that, but I think if anything though, it is unusually diverse for a show
that came out in 2000.
Yes, like I was very surprised.
Yes, it's it definitely is. I can't remember if race comes into play in this show. It might. I have to I have to rewatch it because I mean I'm 31 now. I watched the show when I was like 12. And so, you know, me at 12 was not capable of critical analysis. I was still dreaming in cartoons. I wasn't even dreaming in live pictures yet. So, yeah. But her co-worker / friend is sick and so has been staying home from work. And her boss has just been very like, tell Theo, if he doesn't come in, he's fired. And she's like, he's sick. And he was like, oh yeah, I'm sure he's sick. Just like he was sick a couple of weeks ago, et cetera, et cetera. So apparently this disease, like it comes and goes. Like it just, you know, comes in waves. Like sometimes you get better, but then you get worse. But going back to normal and like Logan going to Max's job, he shows up, shows Normal the picture of her, and Normal looks at her and is like, yeah, that one. He was like, she's easy in the eyes, but like she's trouble. Like stay away from her. But Logan was like, I need to know her name and where she lives and et cetera, et cetera. And he was like, sorry, I can't tell you that information. Logan pays him off. So we already get like rich white man's stuff happening. I mean, other than the apartment, of course, right? Like that was already there. But we get him paying Normal off so that he can get Max's address. And so Max comes home and finds the statue in her apartment.
Not creepy at all.
That's not weird. That's not weird at all, right? Like that's romantic.
Yes.
I paid your boss off for your address and snuck into your apartment and left you this statue you tried to steal from my apartment.
If you get mad at me, you're being weird. You are the problem.
You are the problem. God. And so eventually he finds her, right? Like he finds her at the same bar she was at the other night where her ex was. And like, she was gonna dip on him, and she was like, oh yeah, let me go get my coat. And he was like, you mean the coat you're wearing? And she's like, yeah, that one. And so like they go for a walk, and like he's trying to basically kind of, I guess, pick her brain, or like trying to figure her out, like how she was able to survive jumping out of that window, right? Like we're trying to get more information out of her.
Connect the dots, make it make sense.
Right. And so he like turns his head for like a split second and she disappears, like just is just gone. And so what happens is there are these drones that fly around, right? And this is like drone technology before I think like the general population knew about drones in 2000, right? Because I don't know when we knew about drone technology, like when that became like common knowledge to the public.
Oh, I've been on the case.
Like since you were like 5?
Oh, I was in the womb. I was aware. Ever present. Always, because if they catch you lacking, you're done. You got to stay ahead.
Oh, my gosh. But they have...
because they showed those drones a little earlier, too, when she was biking. And right. She had her hat on backwards, all carefree. And she had to... Zoom, put that thing around.
She's trying to go unnoticed, like to be undetected, because remember, she escaped from a government facility and there are people looking for her, and she has survived these past 10 years by being very under the radar, right? And so soon as that drone comes flying around, you know, it's a surveillance drone. It's taking pictures of people and like, you know, can place you where you were at 8 8:58 p.m. on a Thursday night. Like, it knows all that stuff, right? Because it's collecting that data as it's just flying around Seattle. And so she dips because she's like, I'm not trying to be photographed because I know people are looking for me. But I can't remember what happens and like how she ends up back at his apartment. Do you remember?
I think there's like I don't think she goes that far away. And he's just kind of like, okay, I guess you can, human beings can just do that. And this is now, what, how many times? This is like maybe like the third or fourth thing she's done where she's just like, okay, he knows I'm different. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he sought me out. Let me just go like nip this in the bud. Let's just go see what this man is about.
Take care of this, right?
Discern if he's like good or bad for her.
And he kind of starts off when she gets back, when she goes to his apartment, like kind of like seductive, like he's trying to like come on to her a little bit, right? Like he takes her in front of that mirror, that's like some old mirror that's like, she said she could fence it for like at least like $2,000 or $3,000, or maybe more than that, like $5,000 or $6,000. But he was doing that just so he can get close enough to her to see the back of her neck. And what's on the back of her neck, Marcellus?
It's a tattoo.
It's a tattoo.
Isn't it like it's a barcode.
It's a barcode. The government facility had barcode tattoos on the back of these children's neck to keep track of them. And so he then puts it together, right? Like, okay, she's like 18, 19 years old. She's can jump through windows and still like all the stuff. He's like, he like immediately knew she was from Manticore, like after piecing all this stuff together, right? Because he apparently had done, you know, he's that kind of busybody. He got nothing, like a little bit of information on everything. And if he just, you know, had a day off where he could just like divest a little bit more into this one file, he'd have everything on you in like probably like an hour, I would say. He just seems like that kind of person.
Aggravating, annoying.
But she eventually like confides in him and like tells him, because it's like the jig is up, right? That he knows who she is.
There's no more quips that can save her from not talking about it.
And then like also prior to this, we left out, like she has been searching for the other children, right? And like she's been searching to find, she was started off by searching for a lady that helped her escape. So apparently after she got out of the ice, she was running towards a road and a woman almost runs her over, but like opens the car door and tells her to get in and to duck down. And like this woman basically helps her escape Manticore. And so she starts by like trying to, you know, remember the plates, which I'm also realizing we left out the thing of what the bar trick that her and Cindy do. With the phone number, do you remember that?
Oh, I've forgotten about that.
Because that's also another like thing we like that's not normal, right? So her and Cindy were like taking bets at the bar of like she could like just know what phone number is being dialed from speed dial without seeing the numbers, right? And so the bartender, he's not in on it either. He's just like, that's okay, whatever. So he just puts a number on speed dial. And, you know, it's like, and then she just like runs off the numbers like a computer. And he like puts it on the screen so he can see it. And it was, all the numbers were correct. And people are just like, how does she do that? And so like they want, like, you know, that's how, you know, they make little money, side hustle money like that, like exploiting some of her capabilities that way.
They scammer, which I respect the hustle.
Which, you know, in that particular world, I would imagine like you have to, like, right? Like they're living in a dystopia. There's not like there's no equal. There's not. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of equality happening either. Like people are like people are squatting in buildings, right? So it seems like it's a world in which you do have to like do these little side hustles to kind of get by in a way. You know, if you got like people having to pay off the police and all this other stuff. And so she was going to this guy who owns a laundromat and who apparently does, you know, lost and found detective work or whatever.
A little private eye type deal, something, you know.
Yeah. And so she had remembered the license plate of the woman who helped her 10 years ago, but she was like off by one number or something like that. And she was like, I'm sorry, I was only 9 years old. Like, first of all, who remembers a license plate from 10 years ago? Not me, but maybe a super soldier.
You do be knowing license plates, though.
Okay, so.
Because, like, I remember one time we were driving, and I know what a car looks like, generally. And I remember you said, oh, that's so-and-so's car. And I was like, oh, I don't, did you recognize it? And you went, oh, the license plate. Like, I'm sorry.
You know, people have called me creepy for like memorizing my friend's license plates, but it's like I always think of it like if I see you like on the freeway, I can like blow my horn and like wave at you, or if we're gonna meet somewhere, I can look for your car and see that you're there. Like this is my reasoning for it, right?
If we go missing.
If you go missing, like what's the make and model of his car? What's the license plate number? And people are like, I don't know. Like, I would know because you know
that's some protagonist energy you got going.
I may not remember like the full like plate, but I usually remember the first three letters, the first three digits, right? Because you know. Usually it's a specific kind of car, like it's a Honda Civic or something, and like the plates are X something something, right? Like I know that's my friend, right? And
that particular Jimmy, can you move faster than a speeding bullet?
No, I cannot. I cannot do that. Although like I did take that ancestry DNA test.
So this is the midway point. This is the end of part one. We're going to go ahead and next week put up part two. I hope you're enjoying our little first episode sort of series. Our look at the first episode or the first two episodes of different series. We're going to try and get as many in as we can, especially with next season for the podcast. But if you have any shows, I really do know sci-fi, fantasy, you know, they have a pretty diverse cast, or you know, they feel topical to some of what we've been talking about, let us know. Want to give a big thank you to everyone that's been supporting the podcast so far. Means the world. And any feedback and love you give us is really you know, it warms our hearts and it helps us figure out, you know, if we're doing this whole thing correctly or not. Big shout out to Playdate for giving us the music for our outro. That's why don't we talk about it? They're some fellow sci-fi and lovers, and we you know, we appreciate their good tunes and good vibes. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at Where I See Me. We post about our content, and also you know, try to have some conversations with all y'all. But yeah, feel free to contact us everywhere you listen to your podcasts. See you next week. Stay nerdy and stay black, as Jimmy would say. Sensational.